all of us. Everyone at the State's Academic Medical Center. All working together to deliver complete care now and for generations to come. All over the state, including hospital and clinic locations from the Delta to the Gulf Coast. All for one reason. You, the University of Mississippi Medical Center. All for your health.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
The 10-Minute Timeout is a mini podcast that brings Mississippi sports stories to life. Join me, Lacey Alexander, as I learn more about the teams, athletes, staff, and programs that make our state proud. One-on-one interviews with influential playmakers paint a clear picture for listeners of how Mississippi sports inspire and energize our community. New episodes released every other Friday on your favorite podcasting app.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Southern Remedy, Women's Health, where we discuss issues involving women's health. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey, Assistant Professor of Internal Medicine and Pediatrics at UMMC. And as you guys know, happy Friday. Today is a nice, happy Friday. The weather looks good, even though we have been on a roller coaster of weather this week, from some pretty bad storms earlier this week to some nicer weather. To me right now, it's that perfect, not too hot, not too cold kind of thing going on. So if you are stuck inside, I recommend getting out today. I think tomorrow's supposed to be beautiful as well. And enjoy your time. It's Easter weekend. So happy Good Friday to everyone, and everyone hopefully enjoying all the Easter festivities. Today, I feel like we have a really important topic. So those who may not have heard the billboard before we started, today we are going to be talking about our oral or dental health. I feel like it's one of the most neglected parts of our body. It's the last thing people deal with until we have a problem. So we're going to talk about prevention, talk about some common problems, treatments, and all those things. And I'm so excited to have on with me today Dr. Alexa Lampkin. So good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am from Ridgeland, Mississippi. I graduated from the University of Mississippi in 2013, and I later matriculated through the University of Mississippi Medical Center School of Dentistry, graduating in 2017. Upon finishing that, I started an advanced general education dentistry, which is a hospital dentistry residency, and I finished that in 2018. So I practice as a general dentist and university dentist, as well as an assistant professor at the dental school. And there I also serve as one of the board of directors for admissions. And recently in 2022, I was appointed to the Mississippi State Board of Dental Examiners. So pretty busy.
Yes, I was just about to say that, like, very busy. Like, how do you find time to do all these things?
God's grace.
I'm telling you. Well, as we can tell, people, Dr. Lampkin is well-versed on some basic dentistry as well as some of the more complicated cases. And that's kind of the thing about being at UMC, the things that we get to see, as we say in medicine, bread and butter. But then you also get to see the zebras, the things that lot of people don't always get to see in general practice. So we'll get the opportunity to talk about that. Anybody that listens know that I always just like to give some background information and why this is important to health and medicine, and just some general statistics that sometimes people may not realize. And so, you know, in medicine, I end up seeing a lot of issues involved. People don't realize how important our teeth are to us. And it really involves our ability to eat, to speak, to smile. For some people, that confidence. But, you know, some people having dental issues can lead to other problems, weight loss. They're not able to have the right nutrition because they're not able to eat like they normally do. But If we look at the CDC and some recent statistics, overall, it looks like it's been declining recently in the number of people that are going to see their dentist. And we'll talk a little bit about maybe some reasons about that later. But the scary thing is, or at least to me, it says 9 out of 10 adults between 20 and 64 have at some point in time experienced some form of tooth decay. About 2 in 5 adults between 45 and 64 have gum disease or have had problems with their gums, and that can be associated with things like diabetes, heart conditions, and even Alzheimer's. And then more than half of working age adults experience poverty have untreated dental caries. So that's a good portion of patients. And we know for people that are having a lot of problems with their teeth that it can be a costly thing altogether. So definitely, as we know, I've always laugh about memes that I see on Facebook. There was one that was like, why do we need a separate insurance for our eyes and our teeth? Aren't they a part of our body?
That's true.
But there is a separate one. But I say all to say that we're dedicating an entire show to teeth today. So Dr. Lampkin, can you tell us a little bit about some of the implications of poor dental care and how that relates to people's health?
So, yes. Again, the mouth and the oral cavity are attached to our bodies. The first thing when entering the body goes through what? The mouth, right? Mm-hmm. So everything kind of connects together. So when there are dental infections or decay, that can also play on your systemic conditions, especially patients that may need a heart transplant or have endocarditis or something like that. They have to have dental clearance in order to move forward in the transplant process, like kidney, heart, anything. As well as, you know, dentists, we can actually see if a patient may be suffering from like diabetes by the fruity smell that may be kind of coming from their mouth. We may ask them, you know, hey, have you been feeling a little nauseous or a little dizzy or anything like that? And they're like, yeah, a little bit. And so then we kind of tell them to, you know, you may want to go to your primary care physician or a family medicine doctor just to get further testing done. As well as if a patient has like GERD, we can see that firsthand erosion in the mouth. Mm-hmm. And we may ask, do you have like any burning sensation in your chest, or do you feel like, you know, you have some acid that may be kind of coming through your throat or something like that? And I'm like, yeah, a little bit when I lay down at night. And I'm like, okay, yeah. So you may want to go again to your physician to get checked out. So there are a lot of implications that go along with medical conditions that we can firsthand see in the mouth if not treated properly or on time. So, yeah, and especially with periodontal disease, a lot of patients that have plaque in their mouth, I understand that they're saying, oh, I brush twice a day. Mm-hmm. But it's really kind of hard to say you brush twice a day when you have loads and loads and bulk of calculus on your teeth. And again, that harbors a lot of decay, a lot of bacteria. And again, you have blood circulating through there. You have nerves, mm-hmm. you have vessels and all of that. And that kind of goes through your system as well. So it's really good to stay on top of your 6-month cleanings and exams coming to the dentist.
And you have a great point there because I don't like the cost of the dentist. So like, I was like, what are all the things I could do? So I got my electric toothbrush, and then my husband, he's got the electric toothbrush, and then went and got one of those water picks. So mm-hmm. he's like all kind of cleaning down between his teeth and all those things. So you're right. I mean, things can build up quickly if you're not consistent in your care. And it's really hard too. My kids crack me up because they're like, do we have to brush our teeth tonight? And I'm like, yes, you have to brush your teeth every night.
Right. You have to.
Yeah, definitely. Well, can you tell me, what are some common things that you see in your dental practice on a regular basis?
So I see a lot of edentulous patients, meaning edentulous, meaning they have no teeth. So there are some patients that have gone years and years without teeth, and they basically say they gum their food down. Mm-hmm. Basically, they're using the bone underneath their gum to try to break down the food that we use. We call mastication. Mastication is where the teeth occlude together and they grind to, you know, allow us to swallow and to absorb the nutrients. Mm-hmm. So I see a lot of that. I see a lot of missing teeth. I see a lot of decayed teeth that people have had for years. And I'm like, have you ever had what we call an abscess? But I'll say, have you ever had like a little pimple mm-hmm. on your gum? And they would say, yeah, I had that like a couple of months ago, but it's gone now. And I'm like, okay, so that was a little infection, right? And they're like, oh, really? And so I think, of course, I see cavities every day, but I think now in the generation that I see are a lot of patients that have missing teeth. And mm-hmm. then they come to me and they're just like, I wish that a dentist would have educated me a little bit earlier. I would not have pulled my teeth, pulled my teeth, you know, mm-hmm. like when my tooth would hurt. I just thought I would just need it pulled.
Gotcha.
I'm like, there are other avenues to, you know, save your teeth. And I think mm-hmm. as young dentists now, we need to make sure that we're educating our population on the preventive measures, you know, mm-hmm. going to the dentist, like you said, every 6 months. When something does hurt, go in immediately. Mm-hmm. Don't just sit on it. You know, like I know that you can use like your medications for pain or you want to use your oral gel or something like that. But that's just like a temporary Band-Aid.
Right.
So you need to go ahead and get it done so that you will not be spending extra money, you know, in the long run.
No, and you're exactly right. And I'll be honest, that's probably what stresses a lot of people out about going to the dentist is what that is going to cost. This is Southern Remedy Women's Health, where we discuss issues involving women's health. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey, Assistant Professor of Internal Medicine and Pediatrics at UMMC. And for those who might just be listening in, we are talking about good dental care or taking care of your teeth and the implications that they have on your health. And today I have on with me Dr. Alexa Lampkin. She is a dentist at the University of Mississippi Medical Center at the dental school there. And she specializes in care planning and restorative sciences. And she has been discussing this topic with us. So for those that are just hopping on, we've talked a little bit about the importance of good oral care and your regular checkups and how that can be and how your dentist can even help diagnose diseases for you from your dental exam. So learning a good bit. So we'll continue our talk. We were talking a little bit about some common things that you see in your practice, Dr. Lampkin. Mm-hmm. And so can you tell us a little bit about like what cavities are, how we and where we've come for in the management and treatment of those and our options?
Okay, so cavities come from when you're eating, like, you know, of course, your sugary foods, but some people are like, well, I don't eat a lot of sugar. But of course, what everything breaks down into sugar. So mm-hmm. if you're eating bread, if you're eating pasta, other things that have carbs in them, they break down into sugar. And so I'm not going to go through the whole process of how the cavities stick to the tooth, but yes, cavities stick to the tooth and the byproduct is acid, right? Mm-hmm. And so that acid breaks down the enamel. And enamel, it is pretty hard. That's the white that you see when people smile on their crowns. But that eventually melts away and it goes to another layer called the dentin layer. So the dentin layer is the next layer that covers the nerves. Mm-hmm. So there are three layers to the tooth. You have the enamel, the dentin, and of course your pulpal chamber. And so once that decay gets through that enamel, it moves really fast. Dentin is not as thick as a substance as the enamel. Mm-hmm. So again, once it goes through that enamel, we really need to do something to remove it. Sometimes when we look at our x-ray, and the cavity is not as big, but we can see it there. Most dentists, if they are conservative, they will use something called a medicated toothpaste called Prevenant. And you would only brush at nighttime, like a little amount on your toothbrush. And you just brush, you spit, you do not rinse, and you go to bed. And that allows for remineralization. Okay. So remineralization is basically putting the minerals back into the enamel to make it strong and healthy again. Okay. So again, once you do pass that 6 months and you've not been taking care of that cavity, more than likely it's going to get to the pulp. And that's when you need something we called a root canal.
Gotcha. So I guess what you're saying, there's various levels of cavities.
Yes.
So we don't have to get all of them filled. So sometimes if you're doing your regular checkups and catching them early, then we may not have to go that far.
Right. There are different steps that we can use to reverse the process.
Gotcha. So we were talking a little bit before the show started about myths and facts and medicine. So what materials are used for fillings? Because I have some people that, you know, are talking about kinds of metal, all kinds of things they have in their mouth. And then I've had people ask me things about like getting their old fillings removed because they feel like it's affecting their body. Like I don't know the answers to these sometimes.
So, you know, back in the day, a lot of dentists used amalgam. Okay. I still personally have amalgam as restorations in my mouth.
Okay.
Amalgam, again, you know, it had the conception of mercury, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of dentists now are moving away from amalgam. More dentists are moving towards composite. Composites are a lot more aesthetic. They match the tooth shade. Mm-hmm. You can't really tell that something's there. So I do get a lot of patients that are like, Dr. Lampkin, could you please take this silver out of my mouth?
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I can. But let me just tell you that once I take it out, I have to kind of remove a little bit more of your actual clinical structure.
Gotcha.
So it may cause post-operative sensitivity. So that's the only thing when removing the amalgam and replacing it with composite.
Gotcha.
Also, if an amalgam, we have amalgam buildup, like if half of the crown, the clinical crown is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And say if there's a cavity underneath a restoration, such as an amalgam. Yes, I will then remove it. But if it's larger than the tooth itself, I would encourage the patient to do something we called a crown.
Gotcha.
Just to protect it, because more than likely it's going to break again.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to protect that tooth.
Gotcha.
So we're not spending all that money.
I know. Well, so again on the miss, or so the newer composites, are they as strong as the amalgam? Is
yes.
that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're doing research daily and with the digital dentistry and mm-hmm. ensuring that, you know, they have the compressive strength to withstand any mm-hmm. forces that, you know, with talking and eating and all of that, making sure that, you know, they're pretty sustainable.
Okay. Well, awesome. It looks like we've got our first caller on the line.
Hey.
We've got T in Memphis. Hey, T, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I have basically two questions.
Okay.
I have had a problem. A long time ago, I had filling put in my teeth. And for some reason, the filling, when it, after several years, it pushed my other teeth and crowded them out. Okay, are you with me so far?
Yes, I am.
It crowded them out, and I lost my four front teeth because the filling messed me up. And it made me really mad because I had pretty teeth at first and good teeth, and when it pushed those out, like I just started having all kinds of dental problems, and I'm thinking I need to get those teeth replaced because I don't like to be looking, at, you know, without mm-hmm. teeth. Now I'm 78. I just reached my 78th birthday.
Oh, happy congratulations and happy birthday!
Thank you. So I'm trying to figure out what do I do to get my teeth fixed, and give me the options like crowns, dentures, or whatever.
Okay. Sorry, you can go ahead.
No, I'm finished.
Okay. So I would first go get an exam with the dentist and get some x-rays. Because sometimes when you do have a restoration and the practitioner does not contour it correctly, or you're having issues with like the flossing, or you can't bite down, those are things that can be modified with the restoration. So I'm not really sure, you know, if that filling was so big that it kind of pushed or moved or misaligned some teeth, which could be a possibility. But your next step needs to go to a dentist, get some x-rays just to see the condition of your remaining natural teeth. Now, if you have a good amount of tooth structure left, they can put crowns on them. My only thing is just to make sure that, you know, your oral hygiene is pretty stable. I know some of my older patients may take a lot of medications, which can also cause a dry mouth, which bacteria love. They thrive off of it. So a lot of my older patients do suffer from cavities because they take a lot of medications, and they do not have a lot of saliva to be a reservoir to kind of dilute the bacteria. But that's here nor there. But I think that you need to get that exam and let them see what is there, and they can give you options of a crown. They can give you options of partials. So partials are dentures, are removable dentures, but they have metal clamps on them that clamp to your natural teeth. So you're not having, like my grandfather says, a full plate, but you have teeth that are actually there that the denture can hold on to. I wouldn't necessarily go to the extreme of getting the teeth out and getting a full denture yet. I would get an exam and just see what they would suggest for you.
So how do I pick a dentist? Because every time I look, all I see advertisements or replacing them with some kind of teeth that you can screw in, you know, your bone, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So you're talking about the implants.
The implants.
Yes.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, implants. Yeah, just the implants. And then, you know, I'm thinking that could be very expensive, you know. So I'm really at a loss.
Yeah, so implants are pretty expensive, and the time of healing is also, I would say, expensive as well, but not really money, but it does take time for healing with the implants. And I know a lot of my patients are like, no, Dr. Lamkin, I want it now, mm-hmm. right? But sometimes, especially with older patients, you have to allow that bone to heal and to kind of wrap around that screw that goes in there. So again, if you are missing a lot of teeth in the back or in the front, I believe that you could be a candidate for a partial denture without having to get the screws, as people would call them, in the mouth as of now. I would do something a little bit more conservative just to kind of see how well you would do with that. Because like I tell my patients, it's about function. I understand it's about aesthetics. But right now, let's work on function. Let's work on you eating and getting the nutrients that you need to thrive and survive.
How do I select or find a dentist that would do that without just thinking, hey, I'm going to replace all these teeth with dentures or whatever?
I guess I would say like word of mouth,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, that's usually the easiest way, is kind of asking around.
And are you in Memphis or?
I'm in Memphis.
So I'm in academia as well. And University of Tennessee School of Dentistry does it all. And you would have the most premium care with those students, with the residents, and with the faculty, that they will observe every avenue possible to make sure that your patient experience is good. So I would actually try to become a patient of the School of Dentistry at University of Tennessee in Memphis.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We appreciate your question this morning, T.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you, T, because that we really got to cover a lot of kind of common concerns about, you know, there. That's, you know, it's cool. And I talk about this probably most Fridays about it's kind of cool where we've come in medicine and all of our options. But as patients, it becomes overwhelming as to what's right for you. Do
right.
I need the newer, more expensive thing, or can I get
right.
away with something else? And so it's kind of hard to make that distinction. So I get where
that's
T is
true.
Coming from.
Yes.
This is Southern Remedy Women's Health, where we discuss issues involving women's health. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey, Assistant Professor of Internal Medicine and Pediatrics at UMMC. And for those of who have been listening, we have on Dr. Alexa Lampkin. She is a Assistant Professor at the School of Dentistry at UMMC, and she specializes in care planning and restorative sciences. And so we have learned a lot from Dr. Lampkin this morning, particularly myself, because I still feel like teeth are their own, you know, entity, understandably. But we had a great call earlier talking about options for dental care. And so one of the things we wanted to get a chance to talk about, if you don't mind, Dr. Lampkin, is really telling us the differences between a dental implant versus getting a denture and what patients might benefit from one versus the other, or the pros and cons of those.
Okay. And I also would like to add like a bridge. So all of the dental implant, crown and bridge, and dentures are all for patients who have like a missing tooth or missing teeth in an area. Okay. Because some people are like, I want a bridge. I'm like, you don't need a bridge. You have all your teeth, right? And they're like, well, I saw it on Facebook. I'm like, okay, that's totally different. Okay.
Gotcha.
But so like a bridge. So a bridge is where you would have a missing space in between two teeth. And a lot of people say, so you have to shave my tooth down. So, yes, you do compromise the tooth structure, and you would put like 3 to 4 or however many crowns on the particular teeth to fill in that space. Okay, so that's what a bridge is. Now, if you have two teeth adjacent to an area that's missing, and let's say that there are no fillings on that tooth, there are no issues with the bone levels, they're just perfectly good teeth. Now, when I have that, I'll try to encourage the patient to get an implant, right? Because now the teeth beside it are what we call virgin teeth. Nothing's wrong with them. So that's when I would replace that missing area with an implant. Now, implants are a little bit expensive, but you would not have to worry about compromising other teeth. And majority of the time, a bridge cost is almost as equivalent to an implant. And people don't realize that, right? They don't. So an implant, the only thing with that is the time. And a lot of people are like, I need something in that space right now. And I'm like, okay, we can figure it out. But it would be a whole lot better for you in the long run.
In the long run, yep.
Most healthier person, I would say around 5 to 6 months of healing. Now, there are some specialists such as a prosthodontist that usually specialize in implants, crowns, and dentures. They can put something called a temporary crown on there while it's healing. Now, partial dentures, like I mentioned earlier, are for patients that may have multiple missing areas and may not can afford the bridge or the implant, but it's a denture. So that means it comes in and out. That's removable. But it's not like it's encompassing the whole area. So that's a partial denture. Now, a full denture is where you have no teeth, right?
Okay.
So that's where you take that in and out only at nighttime after you eat. And you're going to bed and you want to clean it. And for the callers out there who wear dentures, please take your dentures out at night.
Keep them on during the day.
Yes. I have some patients that sleep in their dentures. I'm like, no, don't do that. No, no, no. But also with dentures, so for a lot of my patients that have no lower teeth, they have a lower denture. And I hear it every day. For the past 7 years of my practice of dentistry, I can't wear that thing. And I'm like, why? And so now we have implants. You place two at the bottom, and it basically acts as a snap-on denture. So the bottom denture snaps on the implants, and we call that an overdenture. And so when you're eating, of course, that muscle that we call the tongue, it's moving, right? So now that denture is anchored, so it's not moving when you eat. So I try to encourage my patients, if they are fully edentulous, to get a top normal conventional denture at the top, but for the bottom to get an overdenture.
Gotcha.
Now, for the overdenture, the implant process of healing is a little bit shorter because you don't have to like load a crown on it. So I would say around like 4 months, right?
Compared to a little bit longer. Gotcha. Well, looks like we've got another caller. So we have Cindy in Past Christian. Cindy, how are you this morning?
Oh, yeah. Hi, I'm fine. Just fine. I have a question, though. I broke just last week. I broke the, like, distal, I guess it would be my distal lingual molar, a chunk off of it, right? But one of the cusps just broke it off. I was eating something. It's not, I went to the dentist. And it's not cracked. It doesn't hurt at all. And he just had to smooth it because my tongue was, you know, hurting. But he said, of course, he said, I need a crown. Okay, so I haven't had a crown in many years. But he, what is your opinion on these different brand new fancy dancy crowns that they don't even send them to the lab? They just take the impression digitally and make it in the office, and it sounds like it's like completely porcelain. And I think I'm thinking, do I really want that kind of a crown, or do I want one that's fused to metal, like for a molar?
So that's a really, really good question. So now I have in my practice, if my patient has a lot of what we call PFM, what you were saying, the porcelain fused to metal, if they have that, I will, again, I will prep for something like that. Or if my patient has a very collapsed bite or a very tight occlusion where the material such as zirconia or a full porcelain crown cannot be indicated there, I would do a PFM. Now, a lot of dentists are moving to full zirconia contoured crowns, especially in the back, because they are very strong. They are a very strong material. So like if you brux or if you grind or clench your teeth, those are some very durable materials that can last you a long time. Now we're moving. That was a good question. I really like this question. Now we're moving more towards digital impressions. So you're not getting that ooey gooey kind of alginate impressions that's like that gags you. So now the digital impressions where you take that wand and you're going over that crown prep and it basically sends it to a lab and that lab either mills it. More than likely, it mills it. It doesn't 3D print it. But a milled crown is just as durable as any other crown that used to be waxed up and cast like it used to be back in the day. So if you, you know, if you are a candidate for a zirconia or an all ceramic crown, I would by far get that.
Oh, you would? Okay. Because I thought that maybe it was, I just, you know, he makes it right in the office. He says it takes like a half an hour and the crown's done. And I'm thinking, I don't know. I just was not familiar with that kind. And I just thought, you know, I asked him, is it durable? I mean, is it as durable? Like I have, mine are gold. I have actual gold crowns.
I love gold crowns.
And I've had them for 60 years.
Yes.
I caught them when I was 17 years old. And he goes, oh, yeah, they're real durable. They last, you know, like 4 years. And I'm thinking, 4 years? Mm-hmm. That's not very long, you know. So that's what I was just, I'm debating, like, if I want to do that. So that was my question. And then I actually have one more quick question. Because I'm 70 now, my anteriors, like 7 and 8, is it? Or whatever it is, my very front two teeth, they become really thin on the biting surface, like almost see through. You know what I mean? But the teeth are fine. They're fine. Other than that, but I'm afraid they're gonna break off or something because they're so thin. Would I need to get like veneer or a crown on those, or would I to protect them, or is there any other option?
So yes. So can I ask you a few questions? So do you have any back teeth, or are you missing any?
No, I have all my teeth.
Okay. So I think it sounds to me, you know, because you've kind of broken off that cusp on the back tooth, you may be grinding or clenching your teeth a little bit and you're not really paying attention. Do you have GERD or acid reflux?
I sure do, yes.
So more than likely, even if you do have the misocclusion with that and grinding, your acid reflux is going to continue to melt away that enamel. So in my opinion, I would crown it to protect it, because a veneer only protects the facial. You seem to know a lot of dental terms, so it only protects the front portion of your tooth and not the back. So I would get a full coverage EMAX crown, which is a ceramic type crown, but it's a little bit more aesthetic and translucent for the front teeth. I would get something to protect that from the acid coming from the acid reflux.
And so I would still have to have part of my tooth prepped. Like, I'd have to have them ground down before they put
yes.
the crown on it.
So they may put, like, some material in there to kind of bulk it out, to kind of give it support, but, you know, include that into the prep. So, yeah, they would know what to do to protect it, though.
Okay. All right. And then I'm kind of new to the area, and I'm not sure where the dental school is in, like, I live in Mississippi. I live in Pascagoula.
Yes. So we do have patients that come from South Mississippi. The dental school is located in Jackson, Mississippi, off of North State Street. But what you can do, you can go to University of Mississippi Medical Center School of Dentistry's webpage on the internet, and it would provide you a number to call to become a patient for the student clinic. Or even private practice.
Well, thank you for your call, Cindy. I hate to cut you short. We've got a couple of callers that are waiting in the queue. So we appreciate your questions this morning. And we're going to move on to our next call. We've got Roger in Florence.
Good morning.
Good morning, Roger. How are you?
Well, quite well.
Good. Well, tell us a little bit about your question.
Well, I would like you to discuss three aspects of teeth whitening. I'd like you to address the pros and cons in general, the pros and cons for different age groups. I'm an old guy. I understand young people want their teeth to look like, you know, some movie star. But the pros and the cons, the expenses, the different varieties of approaches, and the I guess that's it. Methodology and the pros and the cons, because I think there must be some cons as well as pros. And it's a totally cosmetic thing, I think. Maybe it's not totally cosmetic, and so you could comment on that, too.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Roger.
All right. I may have Dr. Kinsey help me. So I will first start off with the approaches. So there's one approach to where you can get something called, like, over-the-counter whitening strips. My mom loved the Crest Pro Health whitening strips. Her teeth are completely white. I'm like, I need to do that. But, yes, you can start with over-the-counter whitening strips and use those, I would say, at least 2 to 3 times a week just to kind of see if you see anything. If you're doing that habitually and you're still not satisfied, then I may go to, like, a dental office, and I would see what they would say. Now, with me, I like to kind of start off a little bit slower. I know everybody sees when they go on the TV and they see, like, the little light and all, and they're like, oh, I want that, I want that. I'm like, okay, your teeth, you don't know what you want until we actually do it, right? But I take impressions of the both arches, and then my assistant or my lab will make something called whitening trays. And I will give the patient either 10%, 15%, 20%, go all the way up to 35% of the whitening bleach. And you would wear it for 15 to 20 minutes, again, for 2 to 3 days. And you kind of measure your satisfaction from that. Majority of my patients, they make it all the way up to like the 35% of the bleaching acid for the teeth. And they're like, oh, I like this, right? But if that still does not, you know, help, then we have something called in-office Zoom whitening. And that's where we place the 35% bleaching material on the teeth, and then we do 4 cycles of that light in office. Now, that sometimes may be painful, and it's very expensive. So I try to tell my patients, I'm like, okay, sometimes people do not make it to that 4th cycle. And you've already spent $1,500, right? Mm-hmm. So you're kind of not getting the bang for your buck. So that's why I tell people to kind of like start off a little bit slower. Now, once you get your teeth to the aesthetic color or preference that you have, you have to maintain. So you may need to use like some type of whitening toothpaste, such as like Crest Pro Health whitening or Colgate whitening. Sensodyne now for sensitive teeth have a whitening that just came out 3 weeks ago.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so it's called All White Sensodyne. You can use that. As well as, you know, patients that do a lot of wine drinking or chocolate or sweet tea. You can't really do that either anymore. So those are my approaches to making sure that your teeth get to where you want it to be.
Pros and cons. There are cons.
Oh, cons. Teeth sensitivity is the biggest con. That's all I can really say. Teeth sensitivity and not really maintaining what color you like, again, because you're liking that wine, you're liking to eat that, you know, chocolate Hershey bar and things like that. So that's the biggest con.
So you're saying that there is no detrimental aspect of whitening your teeth?
Could you repeat that again?
Is your question, is teeth whitening damaging to your teeth?
Oh, teeth whitening.
At all.
Now it could be if you're doing it every day and you're causing sensitivity to your teeth, that then kind of disrupts your nerves. And so you're not able to really eat or drink anything hot or cold. Mm-hmm. So that's the only detrimental thing that could happen. But as far as like melting your teeth away or, you know, causing them to be brittle, that's not the case.
Thank you.
All right. We appreciate your question, Roger. We're going to go to our last break of the hour. So we'll continue our discussion about dental care right after this timeout.
Actually, Dr. Kinsley, we got one more call.
So
Just stick on.
Okay, awesome.
We'll not go to our last break. Let's stay here through it.
Well, lucky John. Hey, John, we've got John in Mobile.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for being patient. So tell us a little bit about your question this morning.
I'll try to be quick with this.
Okay.
I've acquired in my lifetime about 4 crowns on, I think the numbers are 7, 9, 15, and 19. Yeah, you know that. Maybe your audience doesn't. My question is somewhat related to the last one about, teeth whitening. The two in the front are... As time goes on, they more and more don't resemble the other teeth, the natural teeth. And I'm fairly good about keeping my teeth clean, brushing every day, that kind of thing. Is it possible to get those replaced? Is it a practical kind of thing?
Can I ask, have you ever had trauma to those two teeth?
You mean originally requiring the crown?
Yes. So you have a crown on those teeth now?
Yes. The number 9 I got when I was something like 13. I was hit by a car and lucked out. A chipped incisor, I think it's called, was the only permanent damage. So that was crowned, and that lasted until about 1979 when it was replaced. It was... I still have the one that had been there. The number 7, I was in New Orleans with my mouth open grinning at a Rex parade, and somebody sailed a doubloon right into my mouth.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It makes a nice cling when it strikes. So those two crowns no longer resemble the other natural teeth. And I was lucky when I was a kid to have very good teeth.
Right. Yes.
I'm wondering if I can, it shows up, you know, in certain kinds of light, the two crowns show up kind of badly.
So, yes. So that's why I was asking, did you have trauma? Because most of the time when patients have trauma, it causes the nerve to not, well, it does die. So it becomes desiccant, meaning dry. So the color, the bright, vibrant color now is becoming very dull. So what happens in that case, we allow the patient to have a root canal where we take all the nerves out, and then we do something called internal bleaching. So internal bleaching, it sounds like it says we're going from the inside of the tooth and we're whitening it from the inside out instead of external bleaching, which would have the trays and the in-office bleaching. But internal bleaching is when a patient has had some type of trauma and it has allowed for discolorization. And sometimes that bleeding or that bruising from inside the tooth causes it to look dull and brown. Mm-hmm. So you may consider getting a root canal and getting that internal bleaching to allow it to lighten up. Or if you just did not want to go through that, you could get like a veneer or something, you know, color associated with the adjacent teeth to kind of match it. That would be my only suggestion with that. And then two, as we get older, our teeth are going to become a little bit more discolored just because of our nerve, the pulp chamber starts to shrink. And as it shrinks, our vessels shrink. And so that causes that kind of brown hue that comes from the teeth.
I see. These two teeth were completely covered by the crown. I don't think anything was wrong with the nerve in either one. Mm-hmm. And I didn't require a root canal.
Okay. Do you do a lot of coffee or anything like that?
I like my caffeinated drinks.
Okay. Do you smoke?
No.
Okay. Ma'am. Sometimes that caffeinated coffee can definitely stain even porcelain. So that may be something that you may want to try to consider.
Lighter than the other teeth. So that's how I say that this issue is related to the previous caller somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
I could get my teeth whitened, and the natural teeth might lighten to where they more resembled what the crowns originally looked like, or what the crowns still look like.
Well, John, I apologize. The hour is coming to an end, and we really appreciate your call this morning. We're going to let Dr. Lampkin finish up on some kind of final thoughts, if that's okay with you. But we appreciate you listening to our show, and we hope that this has been helpful. Thank you, John. All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Lampkin, for coming on. We probably will have to have you back because I have learned so much, and I know a lot of our callers have learned so much as well. This is Southern Remedy Women's Health. It's a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting, Think Radio, and it's funded in part by a grant from the University of Mississippi Medical Center and generous support from listeners like you. Today's show was engineered by Abram Nanny. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey. Join us next Friday at 11 for Southern Remedy Women's Health, and stay tuned for NPR's Here and Now, coming up next on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.